Good morning. Jacob was relaxing, playing on his Xbox, when his mother Rebecca bursts in the room. "Jacob, you need to find some of your brother's clothes. Put on these hairy gloves, toot sweet. Your brother's just gone out hunting to get some meat for your father's favourite meal. And I heard him say he wants to bless him when he gets back. But you and I both know that blessing belongs to you." Now, Esau and Jacob are the twin sons of Isaac. And although they were twin sons, they came out fairly close together. In fact, so close that Jacob was holding onto Esau's ankle as they came into the world. And it doesn't get a lot closer than that. But although they were twins, they were not identical twins. You see, Esau's name literally means hairy. So to sum it up and make it easy, Esau, nice and hairy. Jacob, not so much. So, at his mother's insistence, Jacob puts on the hairy gloves, goes to the washing pile, and gets one of his brother's t-shirts and a pair of very stinky socks to put on. Then, a little bit of goat, some dolmio sauce, and those clothes, ready to go, Jacob cautiously enters his father's room. And as he walks in, he says, "Hello, Dad." And his dad calls out and says, "What is your name?" Now, kids, question for you. Okay. It's Jacob who's gone into the room, but he's dressed up like Esau. So, Millen, do you think he's going to tell his dad his name's Jacob or Esau? Which one do you reckon?
No.
Okay. You reckon he's going to say Esau? What about you, Levi?
Jacob.
You think he's going to say Jacob? Ooh, bit of a contest. Let's see, shall we? Jacob replies. He says, "It's your firstborn son. It's Esau. I've got your bowl and nut goat stew. I know I got it quickly, but God put the goat in my path so I would have it ready." But Isaac was still not 100% convinced. So he asked the person who he thought might be Esau to come a bit closer. Now, Jacob's starting to get a bit nervous because he's thinking, will these gloves work? Will they fool my father? I don't know. So he reaches out his hand and his father firmly grasps on and once again asks, "What is your name?" And for the second time, Jacob lies and says, "Esau." Jacob starts to calm down a bit as his father takes his food. And he says, "When I've finished this food, I will bless you." And just as he finishes up the meal, stores away the dribbles in his beard for later, he says, "Come closer, I want to kiss you." Of course, Jacob, a little bit nervous again, but he leans in, and as his father kisses him on the cheek, he gets a whiff of those rather odorsome socks. Jacob hears his father draw his breath, and he thinks, "Oh no, this is it. Go straight to jail. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. And his knees really start to rattle together. But then his father smiles and it just lights up the room. And then Isaac starts to lay his hand on him and slowly say, "May God always give you plenty of dew for healthy crops and good harvests of grain and wine. May many nations become your servants. May you be the master of your brothers. May all your mother's sons bow low before you. All who curse you are cursed, and all who bless you are blessed." After this, Jacob leaves his father's room. And just as he's walking out, he sees his brother Esau come in with some fresh meat that he's killed, along with a baguette and a nice bottle of Merlot. And it dawns on Jacob that his brother's probably going to be really upset with him. I mean, after all, he just stole a blessing that rightfully belonged to Esau. So he thought it best to make himself scarce for a while. So he heads off to his room. Just as he's disappearing down the hall, he notices his mother Rebecca following Esau into Isaac's room, carrying an empty glass for some reason. And just as he goes out of sight, he sees her put the glass up against the door and rest her head against it. Suddenly the light comes on, and Jacob can feel someone shaking him. "Oh no," he thinks, "it's Esau, he's come to sort me out." But then he hears his mother's voice. She says, "You have to leave now. Your brother is so angry he wants to kill you. I want you to go to your uncle Laban's place for now. I'll try and work out some way for your father to think it was his idea." Now, as we were told last week, Jacob goes off to his uncle Laban's house, where he meets Rachel. Probably went a little something like, she looks all right. I wonder if those are real. Ankles. So, hi, I'm Jacob.
Hi, I'm Rachel. I'm your cousin.
Yes. Do you want to get married?
Sure, I'll go ask my uncle.
And as we know, it took 7 years of him working before he was allowed to marry Rachel. So the big day finally came.
Yeah, he goes,
"Do you? Do you?
Yes.
Yay!" Until, oh no, that was Leah. So, Jacob, who still thinks that Rachel's pretty alright, decides, "I still want to marry her," and asks his uncle Laban, "Can I still marry Rachel?" To which he's told, "Work another 7 years, no worries." And after 7 long years, once again, the big day comes. "Do you? Do you?
Yes."
This time, it's the right person. And they have a couple of kids. So all of that took about 20 years or so, based on what I can figure out from reading it. And after this time, Jacob decides, "You know what? I really should make an attempt to make up things with my brother." So he wants to look for him, but he is still a bit worried, because after all, although it's been a long time since they saw each other, last time he saw her, he did steal his blessing. Jacob heard that Esau was going to come to meet him. So he decided to divide his family, his servants, all his livestock into separate groups, because he didn't know which way Esau would be coming. And the plan was that he would send each group one of the possible ways that Esau could come. And when they met Esau, they would tell him where Jacob was. But as you can imagine, this sort of thing took a fair while. They had to make lunches, stock their nappy bags, make sure they had some change for the parking, make sure each kid had their favourite teddy bear, as well as ensuring that all the correct safety anchors had been fitted to the camels for the booster seats. Finally, after much frantic packing, unpacking to find where they put the keys, repacking, strapping in the kids, and checking the oil and water, the group set off. And Jacob stood alone and watched them disappear into the sunset. And as the last caravan neared the horizon, he swore he could hear, "I didn't need to go before we left," drifting back on the wind. And as the last clouds of dust from the departing caravans faded and the cool night began to set in, Jacob lay down for a rest. When suddenly,
"Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!"
And starts to really lay into him. Jacob shook him off, and each of them start to circle each other, sizing up their opponent. Jacob couldn't, for the life of him, think who this guy was. He'd never seen him before, and as far as he was aware, he'd never married any of his daughters. One would lunge and the other would parry. They swiped and slap and punch, kick, grapple. On and on the fighting went. No 3-minute rounds, no referees, no drinks, no dinner, no potty breaks for these two. All night they fought without stopping. As dawn neared, they'd fought themselves to a standstill. Jacob was thirsty and hungry, but the nearest McDonald's was at least a day's camel away. What he wouldn't give for a quick trip through the trot-through window that day. Just as the first glimmers of dawn began to show, the man reached out and struck Jacob on the hip. The sudden, shocking pain made Jacob cling onto the man even harder as he fought to stay standing as his leg gave way under him. "Let me go," the man cried. "It's dawn." "I don't think so, buddy," says Jacob through his clenched teeth. I mean, who was this guy to come, attack Jacob for no apparent reason, fight him all night long, put his hip out of joint, and then say he wants to give up just because it's morning? Jacob wasn't going to give him that satisfaction, but seriously, he didn't really want to keep on fighting either. So he said the first thing that came into his head. He said, "I'm not letting go unless you bless me." And Jacob was taken aback when, instead of laughing him off or denying his request, the man simply asked, "What is your name?" And suddenly, Jacob is back in his father's room where he'd been asked that self-same question. And again, he's faced with that. What name is he going to give? Claudia, what name do you think he's going to say? Is he going to say Esau or Jacob? Which one do you reckon? Which one do you reckon? You're going to say Esau? Jacob? Okay, let's find out. And this time, Jacob looks the man in the face and says, "My name is Jacob." "Wrong," the man says. "From now on, you'll be known as Israel, because you have fought with God and man, and you have won." "What's your name?" asks Jacob. "Why do you ask?" the man replies. And without answering the question, he blesses Jacob with a blessing that is rightfully his, received without lies and given by God.